we're probably all very familiar with. And if you're not, I would like for you to follow along with us and get familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, saying, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you as well. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be therefore on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" Now, the parable of the 10 virgins is a rather simple one. There's 10 virgins, split into two different categories. There's the wise or the prudent, your translation might use either word, and then there's the foolish. Now, it's what they did that really makes all the difference. The wise virgins were prepared for the long night ahead. They took extra oil for their lamps. The foolish, however, didn't prepare at all. They were not ready for the wedding. They were not ready for the ceremony, and they did not bring enough oil to last throughout the night. And this parable is just one of many instances throughout the entire Bible that urgency is stressed. The Bible is an urgent book. There is always some sense of urgency. Even if we don't pick up on it, the urgency is there. And so today, I would like to talk with you and ask you a question. And that question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, we're going to ask that in several different ways. We're going to ask different things that we might not be ready for. And I want us each to honestly evaluate ourselves and see if we really are ready. Because as I just said, the Bible is an urgent book. The Bible pleads for its followers to be ready for a multitude of different things. The first thing I would like for us to talk about is, are you ready to hear? Are you ready to hear? You might say, well, of course I'm ready to hear. I'm listening right now. And that's true. That's good. And I'm glad to see everyone. I'm glad to see Bibles and laps open. That's an encouraging sign. But there's more to being ready to hear than just that. First of all, are you ready to hear quickly? That may sound kind of odd. We don't talk like that. Are you ready to hear quickly? Turn to the book of James in chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is a rather popular verse, and not without reason. James chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Now, the phrase "being quick to hear" is comparative to being slow to speak and slow to anger. So what is James telling the brethren to which he writes? He's saying, hear first. Let that be the first thing you do. Nothing else. You hear. Hear what someone has to say. Hear what God has to say. And then respond. But not only must we hear quickly, not only must we hear first and act afterwards, we must be ready to hear Christ the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 5, probably familiar with the story there, it's the transfiguration. Some of the apostles saw three characters sitting on the mountain. In Matthew chapter 17, saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And then God comes and speaks from the heavens. Because as we know, the apostles were babbling absurd things. They didn't understand what they were seeing. And the Lord says in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." He says, listen to him. As we just saw from James chapter 1 and verse 19, you listen and then you hear. Here the apostles were speaking before they really heard. They were speaking before they knew what was going on. And the Lord says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus Christ. And you may be saying, well, yeah, of course I do that. I'm here. But do you really? And I'm guilty of this just as well, but there are times when we're going through the Gospels and I read something that Jesus said and I think to myself, I didn't know that. I didn't know he said that. How often do we catch ourselves not really having heard what the Lord has said? Not only must we hear Christ, we must hear the Lord. Now, it may seem funny to list both of these, but there are those who are under the impression that only the words in red, only the words of Jesus Christ really matter. Everything else is just opinion. You don't really have to follow that. But that's not the case. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 7, we see an example of Sergius Paulus. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, his man was summoned, Barnabas and Paul, and sought to hear the word of God. This man of intelligence, he knew what he needed to hear. He knew exactly what he needed to hear. In Romans 10 and in verse 17, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing the word of God, there is no grounds for faith. You have to take Jesus and the Lord together. You can't have one and not the other. You can't have the words in red and not the words in black, or the words in black and not the ones in red. You have to take the whole picture. So, are you ready to hear quickly Christ and God above? Are you ready to hear that you must hear? As we just cited in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Are you ready to hear that you must believe? In John 3 and verse 16, we know that believing is essential to the Christian. Are you ready to hear that you must repent of your sins in your past life? In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, Peter tells the people to repent and be baptized. Are you ready to hear that you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 37? Are you ready to hear that you must be baptized? There are many people in the world who quibble with us on this. They're ready to hear that you need to believe in Jesus, and they're ready to hear that you need to confess Him as your Lord and Savior and repent, but they're not ready to hear that He's the very one that told them to be baptized. Are you ready to hear that you must be baptized in order to be saved? And again, some would quibble with us on this, but are you ready to hear that it doesn't just end there? that you must remain faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10, one of the letters to the seven churches, John is writing, directed by the Lord to say, remain faithful until death. Which can be taken as both until the point of death, the point that you are fearing for your life, or just until the day you naturally die. Are you ready to hear these things? Are you ready to hear Christ and God's Word and what God has set out for each and every one of us? The second question I have to ask you today is, are you ready to preach or to teach? We know from James chapter 3 and in verse 1 that it's not wise for there to be many teachers. But that's teachers like a classroom teacher or like someone in the pulpit. But each and every one of us are capable of being teachers. Are you ready to preach or to teach? In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, let's turn there. Again, a passage we all know well. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. We often read Mark 16:16, but we don't normally catch the part before it. This is a direct command from the Lord. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, I'm not an English major like Schuyler over here. I know he talked about that a little bit while he was up here. But I know that this is a command. It's in the imperative tense. It is a command. Commands are meant to be obeyed, especially commands given by the Lord. There's no go preach, but you don't have to. It's go preach. Are you ready to hear that? Are you ready to preach or teach as Jesus commanded the apostles here? And in turn, he commanded us as well. Are you ready to preach and teach in order to save? Now, often we get caught up thinking, well, I need to tell people about Jesus. I need to tell them what he had in store for us and has in store for us. But are you really doing it to save their soul? Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16, we see that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel saves is essentially what Romans 1 verse 16 is saying. But it doesn't just save in and of itself just by being there. A message posted on the wall doesn't do much unless it's proclaimed. Teachers in a classroom, in the school setting, if you give a kid a worksheet, and that's all you give them, you let them read it. Chance, it might do some good, but there has to be some guiding there, some proactive teaching. Are you ready to preach or teach in order to save someone? Are you ready to preach or teach in order to stop false doctrine? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is encouraging Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy to do just that. As we just listed, the gospel is to save. And that's why we should teach it. That's not the only reason. Matthew chapter, first, 2 Timothy chapter 4, sorry about that, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by his reappearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, we could stop right there, and that's exactly what we've been talking about. Go preach the word, Paul says to Timothy. But there's verses after that. He says, for, or because. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Now, certainly, Timothy was instructed to preach in order to save, but Timothy was also instructed to preach and teach in order to stop false doctrine from invading the church. Are you ready to teach in order to stop false doctrine? To stop error from entering the church? Are you ready to use what you know in order to stop apostasy? And finally, are you ready to preach and teach eagerly? Now, often when we receive a command, we do it because we know we have to. But do you do it because you want to? In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 15, we were just there reading the verse afterwards. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 15, Paul says something that if it is not true about us, it should make us want it to be true. Paul in Romans 1 and verse 15 says, "Thus for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." Let's take some time to think about that. Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach to these brethren, to teach them. In today's time, that really wouldn't be that hard. From anywhere in the Mediterranean area that Paul would have been in, would have been at most maybe a 6-hour drive or a short plane hop from one place to another. But that's days worth of traveling by foot. Paul was so eager to teach these brethren that he was willing to travel on foot or maybe even by a donkey, which is not much better. He was so eager to preach to them that he was willing to endure that. Are we ready to preach and teach eagerly like Paul? If not, we need to take a step back and evaluate ourselves and see what we can do to change that. Thirdly, are you ready to work? Now, we live in a day and time, and our society is very caught up in leisure time. There's no room for leisure in the kingdom of heaven. Are you ready to work? Are you ready to work good works? Not just working just for the sake of working. Are you ready to work to do some good? In Titus chapter 3 and in verse 1, Paul is speaking to Titus. And he tells him in chapter 3 and in verse 1, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient." And here's our phrase, "to be ready for every good deed." Is that you? Paul is telling Titus to tell other people this. Could you say that I'm ready to do every good deed I possibly can? Every good thing that God has commanded me to do, I'm ready for it. Can we honestly say that? Are you ready to work for Christ's sake? If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. Ephesians 2 and in verse 10, Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Are you prepared? Are you ready to work for Christ's sake? Christ is the reason that we are even able to work good works. Are you ready to work for his sake? Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14 gives us a little bit more insight on that. Titus 2 and in verse 14 says, "Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good deeds. Jesus gave himself for those who would be zealous for good deeds. Is that us? Are we zealous? Are we ready to truly work for Christ? Are you ready to work to have a faith that is not dead, to have an alive faith? James chapter 2 is all about faith and works. In James chapter 2, he tells us that faith without works is useless. Absolutely useless. And you may say, I try. I do some things here and there. I try to be the Christian that God would have me to be and work in His kingdom. But are you really prepared to work day in and day out in the kingdom? Remember, Paul instructed Titus to remind everyone to be prepared for good works. Lastly, are you prepared to work to glorify God? This should be the end goal. Are you prepared to work to glorify God? In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Not only does he say that, he says we are the light of the world and an example. Matthew 5 and in verse 16. It says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works. If we stop there, that alone should be enough for us to want and to desire and be ready to perform good works. But it's the part after that that should make it even more rewarding and make it even more desirable. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When others see what we do, or at least those who are truly ready and willing to work in the kingdom of heaven, that gives cause for glorifying God. And that alone should be enough for us to desire to work. Are you ready to work? Are you ready to answer? And this is a hard one. Self-included. Are you ready to answer? As we saw this morning in Colossians chapter 4, are you ready to answer gracefully? Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6 says, let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to respond to every person. We talked about in the young adult class how that means knowing what to say, how to say it. Are you ready to answer gracefully? Are you ready to answer in a way that is just right? That's a hard thing to do. But obviously it can be done, as Paul instructed the Colossians to do so. Are you ready to answer gracefully? Are you ready to answer accurately? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, Paul talks about just this, about being ready to answer accurately. He says in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. There is a tendency when you're posed a question, and it's a question you don't really know how to answer, that you just spout off some answer that you think will do the job. That's not being ready to answer. And in fact, that can cause more harm than it can good. Paul instructed Timothy to be a proper workman who accurately handled the word of truth. who, when posed with a question, would answer it precisely according to the will of God. And that takes time. That takes preparation. Exactly what we're talking about this morning. Are you ready to answer any question that might arise accurately? Not just some answer off the top of your head, but accurately. Makes me think of a marksman. A sharpshooter does not sit down in a field and fire off a shot in just a second or two. In some cases, they prepare for minutes. In extreme cases, for hours. That's very light compared to the preparation and the readiness that we need to have for handling the word of truth accurately, as Paul instructed Timothy. Are you ready to answer for the hope that is within you? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15, which I'm convinced is where some of the denominational Christians, quote-unquote, around us get the idea of testifying. Of testifying to others about why they decided to follow Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15, it says, "Sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you with gentleness and reverence." Are you ready to truly defend the very reason that you're here? Are you ready to defend why you do what you do? If not, then we need to do some rethinking. If you're not ready to defend yourself, are you truly convicted in what you believe? Peter says to be ready to give a defense for the hope within you. Are you ready for Christ to return? Now, we talk about this quite often, but are you truly ready for Jesus Christ to return? Are you ready for Him to return unexpectedly, like a thief? In Matthew chapter 24 and several other places, we know that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief doesn't just knock on your door and tell you He's coming. Are you ready for that to happen? Along a similar line, are you ready for it to happen with no warning at all? There's no chance of us knowing when it's going to happen until it does. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, Jesus says, "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels nor the Son, but the Father alone." There's no one to warn us. There's absolutely no one to warn us. Only the Father knows when Jesus will return. We have no warning. Are you ready for that? And honestly, are you ready for that? Because if not, there are going to be serious consequences. Are you ready for Jesus to take you to a prepared place? In John chapter 14, and this is a very comforting passage here. In John chapter 14 and in verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Or if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be received to the home above? I hope we're ready. We should look forward to that day so earnestly. That should be what we long for. Are you ready for Christ's return for salvation? There's a part after that. For salvation to those who await Him. In Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 28 is where we get this. It's where I get that exact phrase. Hebrews 9 and in verse 28 says, "So Christ also, having been offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation, without a reference to sin, to those who eagerly await Him." Are you ready for Christ to return, to take you to that prepared place and for your salvation? The key is, you're only truly prepared for that if you await Him, as we see here in Hebrews 9 and verse 28. If your goals are aligned with Christ's goals, if your life is modeled after Christ's life, you're awaiting Him. You're ready for Him to return. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the Lord to return? And finally, along a very similar note, are you ready to die? Now, I hate to be morbid, but there's a sense in which we have to be. We have to be ready to die. Are you ready to die from your youth? From a young age, are you ready to die? And again, that sounds really morbid, but this is a biblical subject that needs a biblical answer. Are you ready to die from a young age? Turn with me to Psalms 88. The 88th Psalm. This is one of the Psalms of David. And in verse 15, he says, "I was afflicted and about to die from my youth on." David was under some very serious stress. David had a lot of things going on. And not to take away from any of the things that David persevered through, but so do we. Well, actually, sorry, this is one of the sons of Korah that wrote this. But the point is still the same. There were many, many struggles of the ancient life. Lifespan wasn't very long for many of those people. And the author here says, "I was afflicted and about to die from my youth on." They realized from a young age, there's going to come a time when I'm going to die. We often hear the phrase, especially in Hollywood, "I'm not ready to die." And hopefully, there's never a Christian who ever says that phrase and truly means it. There should never be a point in a Christian's life, and I say shouldn't, should never be a point in a Christian's life where that's true, that they're not ready to die. Unfortunately, it happens. So ask yourself this morning, are you ready to die? I'm only 19 years old, but I have to ask myself the same question. Am I ready to die? And if I can't answer that question yes, I have to rethink some things. I have to fix some things with my life. Are you ready to die like Paul did? Or Paul was. In Acts chapter 21 and in verse 13, Paul says, "I am ready to be bound and even to die." Paul was being arrested. He knew he would be arrested in Jerusalem. He had been foretold that he would be arrested in Jerusalem and then taken to Rome. Paul's response to that, "I'm ready not only to be arrested, but I'm ready to die. If they're going to kill me, let them kill me." There are going to be cases, and it will be different for everyone. You might not know when you're going to die. But then there might be times where you know it's coming, like Paul did. But Paul could answer the question that he was ready to die with a yes. Are you ready to die? Like Paul. Are you ready to die and then incur judgment? In Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, just a verse above where we just were, the Hebrew writer says, it is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. You live once, you die once, you're judged. That's the chronological order that's followed. Are you ready for judgment day? If you say no, then you're not ready to die. Now, these are some serious questions that we've asked here this morning. Are you ready to hear the Word of God? To hear what Christ has to say? Are you ready to preach and to teach? Are you ready to work in the kingdom of God? Are you ready to answer any question that may arise? Are you ready for the Lord to return without a single warning? Are you ready to die? If we can honestly answer no to any of these questions, we need to do some rethinking. However, if we can answer yes to these questions, we should be the happiest people in the world. And I hope that each and every one of us can work towards answering these questions with a very, very bold yes, I am ready. When we are ready, then heaven is our goal. So I ask you the question this morning, are you ready? If there are those here this morning who realize that they are ready, that they are ready to hear the Word of God and to obey His plan that He laid out, to hear the Word, to believe that it is true, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus, and to be baptized. If you're ready to hear that and to accept that, then today is your day. Don't wait. If you're ready to make change in your life, you've already been baptized. You've already become part of the body of God. But you're ready to make some changes that you know need to be made. Now is your time. Now is the only moment when you can be ready for sure. There may not be another chance to become ready. So if there are any who are subject to this invitation, I ask that you would come forward now as we stand and sing.